Blog Talk Radio.
You're listening to Money Smarts for You. Enhance your lifestyle by taking the positive path towards managing your money.
Welcome. I'm Barbie O'Connor, your host for the Money Smarts for You show. After years of working with clients helping them save, preserve, and grow their assets, I wrote the book Money Smarts for You, The Basics. I want teens, millennials, growing families, and others to have a chance to learn the essentials that everyone needs to know about money in their adult lives. This show is your chance to ask me about the financial topics that affect your everyday life. If you have questions or thoughts about what you'd like to hear about on future shows, feel free to email me at barbie@moneysmartsforyou.com. Our theme in May is summer financial topics. Today, I'll go over the 7 financial activities you must do with your high school junior or senior this summer. Later this month, I'll review wedding expenses, buying or selling a home, and summer vacation tips that you can use to save money and enjoy your summer more. If you have a graduating high school senior or a high school junior soon to be a senior, make sure you set them up for financial success, whether you send them off to college or they enter the workforce immediately. Regardless of your economic situation, these 7 basic activities will make a difference in their financial future. If you don't know how to do these things yourself, then take a look at my book, Money Smarts for You, The Basics, available on Amazon, or look through the archives of my online radio show at my website, www.moneysmartsforyou.com. It's the number 4 and the letter U.com, and listen in. You can always email me questions, too, at Barbie, B-A-R-B-I-E, at MoneySmarts, M-O-N-E-Y-S-M-A-R-T-S, the number 4, the letter U.com. Number 1, talk to your teenager about getting a summer job. I did chores around my parents' house all through the school year and during the summer from the time I was 6 years old. I cleaned ashtrays and coffee tables. I vacuumed the floor and learned how to take care of the swimming pool. Usually, I was given a time limit to get the jobs paid if I did not do the work. My first job outside the home was when I was 14, and I worked as a filing clerk in a doctor's office. I spent all day in a little tiny windowless room replacing files, pulling files, and alphabetizing files. After that, I worked as a receptionist, learning how to deal with emotional clients. And then later, as a bookkeeper, I learned that people with money sometimes don't pay their bills, and that people without money will work hard to pay their bills off, even if it takes paying something every week. Some people honor their financial obligations, and some people don't. The money I earned doing chores and working over the summers taught me the value of money and how hard it is to make it and how important it is to save it. No matter what kind of job it is, your teen needs to have some kind of summer job. This is an important step for your student to experience. Yes, there may be summer school or summer sports or some other enrichment event, but even a part-time job is important. Why? Because teenagers need to understand what is involved in earning a living, in making money, in saving money, and in managing it well. If you give them money, it is your money. But if they earn the money, then it is their money. At this time of year, there are lots of help wanted signs out at retail stores. In addition, some places may be looking for temporary help to cover while their regular employees take summer vacations. In tourist areas, extra wait staff and housekeepers are in demand. Local swimming pools are looking for lifeguards and maintenance staff. Help your teen create a resume that shows off their best qualities. Brief them on the basics of introducing themselves to others, listening carefully, and answering questions respectfully when they're inquiring about a job. Teach them how to follow up on an application or request for an interview. Remind them that if they are hired, they will be reflecting the image of the business where they will be working, whether it is selling clothes, scooping ice cream, or fixing computers. If your team is not interested in working for someone else, then propose they set up their own business. With the constant changes in technology today, there may be someone who will pay your teen to teach them how to use their phone, enter phone numbers and emails into their phone or computer, or even set up a newsletter, website, or a Facebook account for them. Grass still grows and lawns still need to be cut. Cars need to be washed. Dogs need to be washed. Swimming pools need to be attended to regularly. Many people would rather hire the neighborhood teen they know and who shows up on time and does a good job than have a service or stranger in their yard taking care of their pool pets and lawns. Give your student as much encouragement as you can during this process. When they get their first paycheck, there will be taxes withheld that you can explain to them and discuss what those taxes are for and what they mean. Two, talk to your student about saving money. When your teen gets their first job, it is up to you to talk about money and what they can do with it. Their first inclination may be to spend it on things they want, like a new phone or music or new makeup or going to the movies or to play paintball. Share with them the idea that they can divide their money into thirds, with one-third going into savings, one-third going towards charity, and one-third going towards spending. Work with them on figuring out how much money that is for each pay period. If their pay after deductions is $250 every 2 weeks, then that means they can save $83, spend $83, and give $83 to charity each pay period. After a summer of 12 weeks, then they will have saved $498 and set aside that same amount for spending and for charity. Inspire your child to start working towards saving $1,000. Show them how much money they need to set aside each week over a year to do just that. $20 each week for 50 weeks will accumulate $1,000 in savings. You may want to follow a more traditional route with giving 10% or one-tenth of the earnings to charity. If that's the program you think is best for your child, then suggest that of the remaining funds, they save half and reserve half for spending. With a $250 paycheck, that amounts to $25 for charity and $112.50 for savings, and the same for spending. Over 12 weeks, $675 in savings will accumulate, going a long way towards accumulating that first $1,000 in savings. Hopefully, by this point in their lives, you've introduced them to the idea of giving to charity through contributions at your church or mosque or synagogue, or through your volunteer activities in the community, such as charity runs, work at the animal shelter, or holiday family donations. To guide them towards making a gift of their own money will move them in that direction for the rest of their lives. Three, talk to your teen about avoiding debt. You want to discuss avoiding credit card debt, payday loan debt, and car loan debt, and any other debt at this point in their lives when they have no income to pay off those loans. There may be a case for taking on student loan debt, especially the federally issued debt, with the income-related payback plan, which is described at the website, www.studentloans.gov. During their college years, your student will be deluged with pre-approved credit card applications. Please tell them to shred them if they have their name on them, or throw them away if they're a blank application. Your student does not need a credit card at this point in their life. They do not need a loan taken out in their name to pay rent on an apartment. The only thing worth borrowing money for is a degree that will result in their being able to make a living and pay off the resulting debt incurred to pay their tuition. Studying the information on the website, www.studentloans.gov, and those at the Labor Department website, www.mynextmove.org, will give you information about the earnings expected from various jobs that come from pursuing various majors. And that will let you know whether it is worth it or not to take out student loans or to accept financial aid that has to be paid back, or to accept grants or other forms of financial assistance at the school of your choice. If you take on student loan debt, keep track of it as clearly as you can. Use one page for grants and outright gifts that don't have to be paid back. Then use one page for private issue debt that usually has a totally different requirement for its payoff. And then use another sheet for federally insured student loan debt that has a specific and fairly straightforward system for consolidation and repayment. Update this each year your student is in college, and make sure they learn how to keep track of it as they near college graduation. If you don't know how to do this, ask for help from the financial aid office of the college your child is attending, and consult with the representative of the federal student loan site, www.studentloans.gov. Many people think they need a car and take out loans and sign leases that they later discover are very difficult to pay back. Look for a used car that can be paid for in cash, or use mass transportation. In many college towns, walking, bicycling, and taking the bus are all socially accepted methods of transportation. Get some good walking shoes, a backpack, an umbrella, and if you want a raincoat, and you are on your way, saving money as you go and getting exercise as well. Millennials, with their attitude towards environmental friendliness and conservation, are leading the way towards more people-powered transportation options. Join the movement. Avoid car payments until you have a job that can pay off the debt. Payday loans, which are promoted to help you make it until your next paycheck, charge interest rates that annualize at rates from 100% to 500%, putting the debtor in the position of never being able to catch up. Teach your teen to say no to payday loans. 4. Discuss how much money your child has for college expenses. You may have money put aside for college, or you may not. If you do not, then be honest with your child. Hopefully, you had this discussion before the college applications went out and acceptance is received, and a decision was made about where your child would be attending this fall. Hopefully, as you looked at the financial aid offered to your student, you were made aware of the difference in grants that do not have to be paid back and financial loans that are offered by the university or private sources that do need to be paid back. If you do not know what your child has been offered and what kind of financial obligation comes with it, then pick up the phone and call the financial aid office of the university or college in question, or look at their website and ask about what your child is being offered. Is it a gift, like a scholarship or grant? Does it have to be paid back? What are the terms? What are the requirements? Do they have to keep a certain grade point average? Find out what the details are, because it will make a difference in the long run. As I mentioned before, keep up with the different kinds of financial assistance your child receives and make sure they are part of the process and understand their financial obligations each year. Even though college graduation is an exciting and busy time in your student's life, make sure your student understands how they must pay back any debt they incur to pay for their schooling before leaving campus. A few minutes in the financial aid office may be a worthwhile investment of your time before college graduation. 5, help your child create a budget to live on during this summer, during the month this summer. Whether or not your student is going off to college in August or work or going to work in the private sector, work on an expense plan or budget for them to follow for the months of June and July. Incorporate some of the money they earn from their summer job, and if you need to, add a bit of your own. When you create this budget, make it realistic. How much for room and board? How much for entertainment, clothes, makeup, grooming, food? There's a whole chapter in my book about budgeting. Take a look at it. It should be helpful. The portion you provide should cover the essentials you would pay for out of pocket anyway, but make them go through the motion of paying you for these items you provide. And have them, the minute you give them the money, have them pay you so they don't end up spending it on something and then aren't able to pay you back. Allow them to use their earnings for the extras, like eating out with friends, going to the movies, buying a new gadget that they don't really need. Because when they earn the money and then they spend the money, they may think twice about the decisions they're making about how to spend their own money. When they get out of college, they will most likely be able to make about $25,000 a year and take home about $1,500 a month, assuming they've gotten a degree in something where they can get a job. That's why you need to look at the Labor Department website. When you send them off to school, calculate how much you're paying for room and board each month to the college that they've chosen, and then figure out a little extra so that in total it does not exceed the $1,500 to $1,200 a month take-home pay figure that they will hopefully be earning when they graduate. If room and board amount to about $1,000 per month, then you're already paying to the college, then allocate another $200 to $500 per month for them to have as extra spending money. You might also at that point want to go over how much they need to be paying back their loans so that they'll know of that $200 or $500, they have a loan payment that they need to be making there. Do not give them more money than they need when they go away to college, because you will only set them up for failure later on in life. 6, for your junior in high school who will be a senior next year, extend this budget exercise for the whole year. If you have a junior who has not handled money on their own, consider working with them on a budget for their senior year in high school. In this case, you may or may not want to take out some expenses like room and board, but you may want to factor in gas, clothes, entertainment, and other expenses that you can negotiate for together. Let your rising senior learn how to make mistakes with money before they leave home. Teach them how to use a checking account and debit card. Explain the differences between a debit card and credit card. Show them how to balance their checkbook. Make sure they learn how to read a monthly bank statement and explain why it needs to be done every month so they can protect themselves against identity theft and fraud in the event there are transactions in their account they did not authorize. And teach them how to call the bank or the credit union or the savings and loan and discuss the problem they have with their statement. Set up a monthly meeting to discuss how they are spending their money and have them explain their statement and show that they know and understand how to balance their accounts. Do your best to not fuss at them or browbeat them when they make mistakes. No one is perfect, and what you want is for them to learn from their mistakes so they can make better decisions in the future. 7. Senioritis and freshman year. Your senior in high school may be glad to know where she or he is going to school in the fall, but that does not mean it is time to slack off on their studies, especially if they're the beneficiaries of grants or scholarships that will apply to their years at college. Do your best to help your senior pace himself or herself and take healthy breaks in their studies. Praise them when they are doing well, provide regular meals, snacks, and outings with exercise, or change of location to give them the opportunity to relax and use their brains in a different way, leading them to better performance academically. When your student starts college, it will be an entirely different environment than the one they have been in before. And that's whether they live at home and go to college or whether they go away to college, they're going to encounter new things. Talk to your teen about things they may encounter in their new environment. Casual sex, drug use, and alcohol use may be prevalent wherever your student goes to college. You can try the Just Say No campaign, but what you really probably need to do is to teach them how to address the issue of contraception, how to avoid being in certain crowds, how to identify quickly what kind of crowd they're walking into. Before they leave your home to go away to college, if you can't work with them in a role-playing situation to help them figure out how to say no or how to ask for help, then talk to the counselors at school to find someone who can help with this very emotionally charged transition. If you don't think you can even bring up this topic, then look to other adults who may be important in your child's life, like aunts, uncles, ministers, coaches, and teachers, to see if they can help. There are many nonprofit organizations that offer help in these areas, such as Planned Parenthood that has teen educators to help teens say no to sex, the Council for the Prevention of Alcoholism, Boys and Girls Clubs, and the YMCA and YWCA in your community all offer these types of activities to help your child learn how to be assertive and to be able to stand up for themselves in a peer-related environment. Whether your student is a straight-A student now or a C student, the environment they encounter may allow them to flourish or to founder. Either way, before they go, remind them that they can do whatever they set their mind to, and they can be successful. If they're going to a particularly academically challenging school, they're going to be showing up for class with other people who were A students. So all of a sudden, you have a class of 30 people, all of whom were very competitive, all of whom were A students, all of whom are very academically oriented. And, you know, not everybody's going to end up with an A in the class. Also remind them that when the graduation ceremony begins, C students are getting the same diplomas as A students get, and they are getting the same degrees. Many students who are the first in their families to attend college have a difficult time with failure and working through it in a college environment. There are special programs at many universities that are dedicated to this group of first-generation students. Your student needs to know that you will love them and care for them, whether they have an A average or a C average, and that they should not give up when they have a failure or two, but that they need to dust themselves off and pull themselves up. Accept failure as a part of life, but know that they can ask for help when they need it and learn how to move on with their life and succeed. In addition to having these types of discussions about academics and about social problems or issues that they will encounter, try this summer to teach your child, your student, to maybe cook 5 or 6 different dishes, teach them how to do their laundry, and also teach them how to basically clean their bathroom and clean up their room if they haven't been doing that yet. You want your child to succeed, and so do I. A great gift for graduation is a copy of The Money Smarts for You, the Basics book, available on Amazon. Thank you for joining me today for the Money Smarts for You show. Please email me your questions or thoughts to Barbie at Money Smarts for You. That's B-A-R-B-I-E at Money Smarts for You, the number 4, the letter U.com, and we will cover them in future shows. Remember, take care of your money to take care of yourself.
Thank you for joining us today. Find out more at MoneySmartsForYou.com. Like us on Facebook, buy the book on Amazon, and remember to subscribe to the show.